Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. And I'm really excited to introduce this conversation that I had with our guest. His name is Bill Wilson. Wouldn't surprise me if you know his name. He most recently, was the Associate Vice President of Education and Research at the Big Eye National, and he was also the founder and director of the Big Eye's Virtual University for 17 years. He's now the founder of InsuranceCommentary.com, and I would consider him, as much as anybody I know in the industry, Mr. Coverage. He knows more about insurance than almost anybody I know. He's a CPCU, ARM, AIM, AAM. And if I read all of his accolades, we'd run out of time. He has spoken at 43 different state affiliates of Big Eye National, CPCU, Society National Convention, and on and on and on. So, as I said, more than likely, or very likely, you've been in the audience when Bill has spoken. Among his accolades, there is one that I do want to mention, partly because it's a great achievement and partly because of my own personal relationships. He is a recent recipient of the Jeff Yates Lifetime Achievement Award, which is the Big Eye's highest honor for non-agents. So without further ado, I will introduce you to this conversation with Bill, and I want to encourage you to listen carefully. Bill talks about a core issue which can't be ignored, which is the importance of, with all of the change that's happening in the industry, the core importance of being a good, educated agent and using that to stand out from the crowd and to fight the dangers of commoditization. So again, without further ado, I introduce you to this conversation with my friend, Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited about sharing your insights with the small part of the industry that hasn't already heard your voice. How are you?
Well, you're kind, Michael. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's do just a real quick thumbnail on who Bill Wilson is and you've got a very impressive resume, what you've been doing for the last umpteen years.
Well, I started out in engineering, and I did fire protection engineering, and I worked in the insurance industry, starting out doing mainly HPR, highly protected risk type properties, and to learn the lingo, I knew that I needed to educate myself, so I got the CPCU designation, and the more I got into it, I worked for ISO, and I went from engineering into management. But I got really caught up in the whole coverage thing, policy forms and so forth, and it's something that really interested and fascinated me. So I ended up moving into the education area in 1988. I went to work for the Big Eye, the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, state affiliate in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so my career from there has mainly been working with and for agents for the past 28 or so years.
And you were Associate VP of Education for the Big Eye. Do I have your title right?
Yeah, Associate VP of Education and Research for
okay.
the Big Eye National.
Okay, and I have to say that you probably know more about coverage than anybody I know, and I've been in this industry for over 25 years. So If I ever have a coverage question, I might call you instead of my insurance agent.
Well, I'm lucky. I know a lot of people that know as much or more than I do. So the questions are not always easy to answer, but I'm lucky that I have a lot of resources I can call on and have for years.
Right on. All right. So you've been in the industry for a long time. You've been very, very close to agents and the agent community for a long time. They're working with a big eye. So I'm going to ask you to kind of fly your plane up to about 30,000 feet and look down. And so I'm going to ask you to share, what do you see as the big changes, big trends, and the big picture that's affecting the industry right now?
The big thing, and you can see it in the industry media, is this whole issue of disruption of all of the with the advent and the innovation in technology. You see a lot of technology companies, at least they refer to themselves as that, coming into
right.
the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming in and on the agency side, on the carrier side, and you read about it. The media, whether it's Insurance Journal or PC360, National Underwriter, they're all saturated with these issues of disruption, of the alleged commoditization of, in particular, personal lines. Big data, predictive modeling, credit scoring, and on and on. That seems to be the big change of recent years. There's an attempt to disrupt or somehow change the industry, and a lot of it's good, but a lot of it isn't.
Okay, so in this podcast, we're advocates for the agent broker channel. And so I think it's important that they are monitoring these changes. And so first question, Bill, is what do you think, what are the forces that are driving those trends?
Well, I think one is just the advent of technology.
Okay.
Everything is moving to mobile devices, phone apps, tablets, and so forth.
Uh-huh.
So there's some, at least a perception that using tools like that, you can virtually automate the insurance process, or at least the buying experience that customers have. Amazon, in one way, has changed everything when
right.
it comes to buying stuff. But the problem is, insurance is not stuff. Insurance is a legal, complex a legal contract, and you're putting everything you own at stake, particularly from the standpoint of liability claims. If you
right.
get an insurance policy that covers liability and it has exclusions that may not be in other policies, you could end up losing almost everything you own, having your wages garnished for the next 20 years. So I think most consumers don't really understand what they have at stake. And some of the startups are taking advantage of that because it's not a fun process to go through getting insurance and identifying your exposures to loss and so forth. And so the solution is, we're going to change the customer experience, and we only need 30 seconds of your time to put your insurance in place. And the reality is, at least today, that it simply can't be done, in my opinion.
Okay. So I'm going to circle back in a moment to the potential, I think what you're saying, negative or deleterious effect on the consumer. But before that, I'm going to ask you, do you think the industry is being disrupted? Do you think it's being changed? And do you think that the startups who want to disrupt it and change it are going to be successful? So I'm sorry, I just threw four questions at you. so let's break it into chunks. Do you think it really is being disrupted, and do you think it's being changed?
Well, my gut feeling is I don't think it is, but I could be wrong. And either whether I'm right or wrong, I don't see what's going on today as being particularly to the advantage of consumers.
Got
and
that.
Businesses.
Okay, so
so that they may lose either way.
Yeah. Bill, as I recall, it was just a few weeks ago, I read an article that you wrote, was published in Insurance Thought Leadership. It was about lemonade. And I said to myself, oh, I got to get Bill in the podcast. And as I recall, your comments about lemonade were not particularly laudatory. And so what is your perspective on what you think some of those outside startups will do to the industry?
Well, it remains to be seen. I know I read a lot of them are getting a bunch of venture capital.
A lot.
And we saw that back when the internet bubble burst.
Right.
So that may happen again. I don't know, but I just don't see. I can see it more as a novelty than anything, and they're playing on the increasing desire of people to be able to have one-click buying like you can on Amazon.
Right.
They want it to be fast, easy, and cheap, to be convenient. And the reality is, it not everything can be. I don't go to the doctor if I think I have a serious illness and choose the doctor based on which one is the cheapest and who can get me in and out the fastest. I want to find out what's wrong with me and find out what it takes to fix it. And that's the same thing for insurance. Again, I don't think most consumers really understand how much is at stake. And it's just, it's not a commodity purchase. You simply can't do it in a matter of seconds or 2 or 3 minutes.
All right. So let me throw out a premise for you and bounce this off of you. let's assume that not all consumers are the same. And that some consumers, whether it's good for them or not, will be highly attracted to the cheapest price. Some consumers will be highly attracted to the most convenient way to purchase insurance. And some consumers will be most attractive to the protection, what the insurance actually does. Okay. So here's the premise. Of those three groups of consumers that have different values, different things that motivate their purchasing decision. And again, I'm not endorsing, you know, price as the best way to buy insurance, but I think we know Geico, Progressive Direct, they've proven to us that a lot of consumers are going to be attracted to that. Of those three groups, do you think that the last group that I talked about, the ones who really care most about what insurance does, they want protection for their home, for their family, their assets, for their business. Are those who are, do you think, most willing to be in a conversation with our channel, with the agent broker channel?
Probably so. I mean, they are, but I wouldn't abandon the price seekers.
Yeah.
I think the price seekers are there because they don't know any better. I mean, they see the commercials. That's all you see on TV is price guns, and we'll save you $354 and that kind of stuff. The reality is the carriers that, and most of them are direct, that advertise solely on price are not always the cheapest. In fact, I'd be willing to bet, if somebody did a study, that they are often not the cheapest, but they come across that way. That attracts that class of a purchaser.
Right. Okay. So there may be some great irony in their message, but even setting that aside. So I think you being Mr. Coverage, it sounds like what you're saying is that this is not a commodity, folks, and you've got to take proper care of yourself. Okay. So don't do your own surgery. Right. So go see a professional now. That being said, when Geico's spending over $1 billion a year on advertising, and you know Progressive is spending, at least last I checked, it was $600 to $700 million. So when we're up against that brick wall of messaging to the consumer, what do you think agents need to do to respond to that?
Well, that's the hard part, because it's an educational process. People don't know what they don't know. So agents have to take every opportunity they can to get that message across to people in every transaction. That's one thing about being an agent and having that personal touch, is that you have the opportunity anyway for more of a relationship and more points of contact than you might just somebody clicking a phone app. So they have to take advantage of that to make people understand, with information on their websites and their communications, if they do a newsletter or anything like that, or a blog on their website to consumers. When they speak to groups, if they go speak to a home builders association or a Kiwanis club or the senior citizens
center
or whatever, and just spread that message. One of the things I did when I was at the Big Eye National is I set up on our virtual university an area. We have an area called Featured Resources. Most of our content is for members only, but we do have some public areas. And one of them is it's under the category of asking the question, is insurance a commodity? And there are all kinds of resources there for agents. Where our focus is obviously our members,
right?
But for any agent and consumer, for that matter, there are articles, there are free webinars, all kinds of ammunition that agents can use to get their message across, to adopt it, to rewrite it into articles that they can share with their customers, and so on. But it's truly an educational process, and I'd be the first to admit that it's almost like banging your head against a brick wall when you're faced with the incessant advertising that you can't escape. It's price, 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 price.
All right. So that being said, I'm glancing at the notes that I took the last time you and I chatted. And I think I'm quoting you. You said something like that our channel needs technology combined with insurance. So you, Mr. Coverage, are not saying technology isn't useful. I think you're saying that technology is useful and valuable to deliver the message that you're talking about, that there's an educational process.
Absolutely. Sometimes I fear that I come across as a technophobe, that I'm against technology, but I love technology. I've been an adopter of it early on. I know when we talked once before, I'd mentioned that when the iPod came out, I knew it was something I had to have.
Right.
When the iPhone came out, I got one. I still have about six or eight different iPods of different generations. And I had a personal computer before anybody had even heard of the IBM, well, before it existed, the
right.
IBM PC.
Right.
And so I like technology, but I recognize that it's a tool. It's fun to use in and of itself in many ways, but it's largely a tool, and that's something that we can't forget. We're not in the business to, you know, make a fun phone app for people to use,
right.
And that'll make their life easier. That's one thing, but for it to be the end itself and not the means to an end doesn't make a lot of sense.
Got that. Okay, so let's talk about this sort of the core part. So your position, Bill, insurance is not a commodity. If it's purchased in ignorance, that's potentially dangerous, right? So am I kind of summing up part of what Bill Wilson stands for?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, so... So that being said, I want to get your perspective on the importance of education. Because sometimes I think the aggressive marketers in this industry, of which I suppose some people would say that I'm one, we might have a tendency to say, that marketing, that you have to market. You know, marketing matters a lot. But at the core, there is this notion that the insurance agent actually needs to be the expert. And not only does the principal or the producer need to be the expert, but probably everybody who's in a conversation with the consumer needs to be an expert. So I want to get your perspective on the state of insurance education today.
Well, I don't know that I'm alone in this feeling, but having been involved in it going back to the 1970s, I believe, and I can't, it's nothing but anecdotal experience, that education is not what it used to be, and it all really started to me this downturn with mandatory CE laws.
That goes back a ways. Bill,
yeah,
right?
They,
that goes back ways.
They were well intentioned when the laws were drafted, but if you go back to that point in time, at least back to the 80s when it really got going,
right?
There were handfuls. You had the CPCU Society and CIC and agent associations that were doing serious and quality education. Well, when everybody had to have it, it became a price thing then.
Right.
So you have all of these. It's an industry easy to get into, and you have all these folks that came in and were offering continuing education for practically nothing and just doing it on a volume basis, and it's just junk. It's of little value. The most disappointing thing are the agents that actually engage in that use those sources to do their education.
Well, they're taking education for the commission or not for their consumer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I give agents a hard time sometimes because they complain about their customers or prospects being price-focused, and I tell them they want their insurance like you want your CE, fast, easy, and cheap.
Yeah.
That there's some truth to that. It's just, I guess it's human nature, but it's not the quality education is still there. It's just that too many agents aren't availing themselves of it anymore.
Okay, so if you're going to provide some wisdom to the decision makers in an agency or anybody who's listening to this about their education, what would you say to them? What do they need to do?
Well, I think one of the issues, and this they can do through their associations, one of the issues is regulatory, in that regulators are not vetting the education that's being offered. You can just literally throw marketing material and stuff together and pass it off as education. The providers should be vetted. The information they're providing, the courses they're providing should be vetted. It's the same thing that also a decline I see in the coverage in the marketplace, that a lot of insurance departments are not vetting the coverage forms themselves. So increasingly we see a greater disparity between high quality auto and homeowners forms and then very bare bones types of products, and the consumers don't know that there's any difference because they think it's a commodity. They've been led to believe that the only difference is price,
right?
And cheaper is just as good as not as cheap, and that's not true.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do you think agents need to do to distinguish themselves in the eyes and the minds of their customers?
Well, I think they first need to engage in education so they know what they're doing. Secondly, I'm a big advocate of professional designations, of quality designations. I know consumers don't understand the distinctions between them or might not understand the significance, but
right.
I think having those letters after your name, whether you're a JD or MD or whatever, if they're legitimate designations, is one way of getting that message across to consumers that you do have a commitment to professional development.
Right.
CPCU, CIC, ARM, CRM, those kinds of designations.
I'm looking at them right after your name on your bio here. So
yeah.
You've paid your dues as well. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bill, optimistic, pessimistic? What's your view on the industry right now?
Well, I'm still optimistic, but I think somebody needs to address the whole issue of the disruption and the commoditization, and I just don't see a lot of that. When I see in the media all of these articles, and they proliferate in the usual industry media sources, nobody's questioning. It's a lot of hype and hyperbole about here we are, here's what we're doing, throwing out facts and figures that are just being accepted and not questioned. Nobody's asking the hard questions because I think in many cases, sadly, members of the media don't have the historical perspective and the understanding of the industry to know what questions to ask.
Right.
And over my career at the Big Eye, I did a lot of media interviews as the coverage wonk of the association.
Right.
And I would constantly encourage reporters to write about and ask about the right kinds of questions. You see articles all the time about, do I need to buy the rental car loss damage waiver? Almost all of them are wrong.
The perennial question. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
They're almost all wrong. I can go on Forbes, which is a reputable business media outfit, and I'll see an article there about the 15 insurance policies you don't need, and number 7 or number 9 is you don't need flood insurance.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
I have no idea the credentials of someone who wrote that, but I know they know absolutely nothing about what they're talking about. But
consumers
don't know that. If it's a legitimate source, they think that the information is accurate. And That's another problem I get when I have conversations on LinkedIn discussion boards with people. I had someone just recently that said, well, you don't understand, because the internet now puts information at our fingertips and we can go online and learn all we need to know about insurance. And again, the reality is that a lot of the information out there is just absolutely wrong.
Got it. Okay. So we can go online and learn all we think we need to know about insurance.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So, yes, there's an infinite amount of of information, but it's not all necessarily accurate. All right. So you're not just an advocate, Bill. I mean, you're as I see it, you're among us who love this channel, the Agent Broker channel. What do you think its greatest strengths are?
Well, I think it's the people in the industry that get it, uh-huh. and they understand what we're all about and what their mission is. And I tell every opportunity I have to speak to agents, I tell them that or anyone in the industry, it doesn't matter whether you're an agent, an adjuster, an underwriter, a risk manager, or whatever, but if you consider yourself a professional in this industry, job number one is to help consumers, individuals, families, organizations to identify their exposures to loss and then risk manage them through insurance,
right.
or other methods. And everything we do, every decision we make should be focused on that one thing, not trying to appease the consumer who's looking for fast, easy, and cheap. Because I've used the example sometimes, the analogy that when my son was 2, 3, 4 years old, he would have happily lived on a diet of chicken nuggets and gummy bears because he didn't know any better.
Sounds pretty good. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the way it is with consumers. They right. don't know any better. So
yeah.
I they're ignorant, and I don't use that term in a derogatory
fashion. No. Why should they be educated about insurance other than that it's in their best self-interest? But for goodness sakes, people's lives are busy and full, and so
yeah.
and so in the ideal world, they turn to this channel, and if they don't, then they turn to a different channel, and maybe they don't get what they need. They get their gummy bears, right?
Yeah. You know, I do have a fear that if what we're seeing is successful, that everything that consumers hear from us is price focused, or 90% of the advertising, that if that's how the industry is moving, and there was a time where there was virtually a cartel that most companies use the same or very similar rates, and they distinguish themselves based on service and
right.
coverage and so forth. But if we are moving towards this price thing, at some point, even with technology, you will become as efficient as you possibly can in providing insurance. And when that happens, what do you do then? If you still are going to compete on price, the only other place to look to reduce the premium is where the losses occur. And that's what I'm seeing, and I've seen it over the past few years, that to compete on price, some companies are having to reduce the coverages in their policies. And as long as consumers are duped into believing that every policy is the same,
right.
then they're going to have that customer base, and it's going to hurt people.
Okay. So a couple of days ago, Bill, I sent you an article. I don't know if you've had time to read the entire thing. It was a representation of research by Bain & Company. And I have felt that it was an excellent piece of research. And one of the conclusions that I drew from that was that the interest of the insurance agency, the business interest of the insurance agency, is actually perfectly aligned. Now, this is my interpretation, is perfectly aligned with the best interests of the consumer. And here's what I mean by that. If that consumer is well taken care of, if they have multiple policies, they don't have gaps, if they are, in the true sense of the word, fully covered, then the research, the science seems to indicate they're the best consumer that there is, because, first of all, we know that they're going to buy more insurance. Secondly, they're going to stay with you longer. Third, the research shows that they give you a lot more referrals. And so it does seem that in our channel, and I'm not going to talk about the price-driven channels, but in our channel, it seems that if if we do what I think you're talking about, which is really cover, really protect the consumer, then that consumer is going to reward us very, very richly. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I did read the whole thing, and I agree with you. I've been critical of some of the studies from McKinsey and Nomura and a few others, but I thought this one was well done, and I think the point's valid. You know, agents that really do the right thing and do the right job are and I think will continue to be very successful, but they have to tell that story. We do a terrible job as an industry of telling the story about all the people that we do help, the folks that have a claim that's covered beautifully, they have the right coverage, they have the right amount of limits and so forth, and we just don't share those stories. And to some extent, not to be negative, we need to point out where people don't have
right.
the best coverage because they went with price alone. And from the agency standpoint, you don't have the billions that are being invested in all the price-focused advertising, but
right.
you have to do it at that grassroots level.
One of the things that I've always felt was a good idea is to bring those stories to life in the agency. So in other words, if somebody has a claim and they're really satisfied with the coverage that they had and the service that they had, that to ask that person perhaps to share their story with the staff or the CSRs can be one of the most enlivening things for the agency to align people around this whole message. And then occasionally for the staff to talk about, you know, what happened when so-and-so didn't have the coverage that they should have had. That those it's those stories that bring what you're talking about to life. Make sense?
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. This whole thing starts with ourselves because there are agents out there who are as oblivious to the whole commodity thing as many consumers are. They themselves, when somebody is looking for homeowners insurance, they'll run a comparative rater and say, well, here's the cheapest company we've got without little
right.
or no consideration of the coverage and the exposures. And if those people are pushed out of the business because they're basically quoting price, then so be it. It's probably good for the industry and for consumers if those agents don't make it.
But, well,
I think you're exactly right.
Okay. Well, I saw some research that indicated that in our channel, I think the figure was 57% of the consumers do not take the first and cheapest quote that they're given by the agency. And so there's some indication that once you engage in a conversation with somebody, they're actually willing to talk about protection, not just price.
Right, yeah. I know an agent, he's a commercial agent in Missouri by the name of Tim Wall. And Tim, every week somebody comes to their office looking for him to save them money on their business insurance.
Right.
And he says invariably, 9 times out of 10, maybe more often than that, the person leaves having bought more coverage, having better coverage than they had before, and paying more money for it. But he uses that as an opportunity to educate themselves. He shows them their current program, where the gaps are, how he can fix those gaps, and identifies areas that they're not even aware of. So the bottom line is that I think many people, probably a clear majority, don't look just for price. They're looking for value.
Right.
And
if you can
demonstrate that to them, they will fork over the extra money for the extra protection.
So he uses the price conversation to segue into an education conversation.
Yep.
Saving consumers one starfish at a time, as they say.
That's all right.
Right.
Yeah.
Bill, so I'm gonna put you on the spot with a question that I often ask at the end or towards the end of a conversation. If the industry was zipping down insurance highway at 65 miles an hour and Bill Wilson had an opportunity to put up one billboard, which means, and you had an opportunity to say something that mattered to them, a message that you felt was of critical importance right now, what would you say, keeping in mind that if you put too many words on a billboard, they're not going to read it? What do you want to say to the industry?
Now, am I talking to consumers or to the industry?
To the industry. All the agents and carriers that are zipping down the highway, busy with their lives, 65 miles an hour.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how you would refine it into billboard words, but I would just say, know who you are and what you're all about, why you're in this industry, and keep that in the forefront of all the decisions you make. We're here to serve the public and to protect individuals and families and organizations. So always have that central in every task that you do.
Right on. Okay. We'll get the wordsmith on it, but the message is clear and the message is powerful. Bill, if people want to, first of all, if they want to find out more about you, I'm going to ask you just take a moment and share what are you all about, and then I'm going to ask you how they can find out how to make contact with you. So what are the agents and the carriers of today? What are they going to learn, or what are they going to gain from a relationship with Bill Wilson?
Well, I have a website, and I blog from it pretty regularly. I usually have several posts a week, and I try to split my posts into commentary and into education.
Right.
So I'll have a couple of posts about personal commercial lines coverages. I'll have a couple of posts about issues in the industry like disruption or big data or whatever. And the ones that I think are thought-provoking, I have a LinkedIn discussion area, and I will post those. I get a lot of traction on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I had a post called Insurance and Paper Towels, and I had over 8,000 views on it. Just because, and it was short and sweet. It wasn't very long. It didn't
right.
take long to read, but it struck a chord with people. So that's what I talk about, coverage and issues.
All right. I'm going to tell the audience, by the way, I am a subscriber, insurancecommentary.com, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm a regular reader, and I encourage everybody else should be as well. So best ways to find out would be what? Visit your website, insurancecommentary.com.
Yep, just go there. You can subscribe. It's free. And when we talk about educating people, one of the things about my blog is anybody can reprint anything that I post on that blog. I just ask that they keep my copyright on it if they do with an attribution. But any of my blog posts they want to share with customers or in the agency or for agency
okay.
training, they're welcome to reprint them in any way that they want to.
Excellent. All right. Bill, on behalf of our listeners and on behalf of the industry, I want to thank you for what you're doing for the industry now and, of course, the contributions you've made over the decades. And thank you for this conversation. It was illuminating and to the point.
Well, thanks, and thanks for having me. I've enjoyed my visit.
It has been my pleasure, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.